Welcome to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast, a show dedicated to the storytelling that happens
or should happen
when practitioners purchase technology. Each episode is designed to inspire new ways and ideas to make your business better as we speak with the brightest minds in recruitment and HR tech. That's what we do. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's William Tincup, and you are listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today we have Emma on from Enterprise Alumni. We'll be talking about the business case or use case for why her prospects and customers choose Enterprise Alumni, EA for short. So, Emma, would you do us a favor and introduce yourself and Enterprise Alumni?
Of course. Thank you.
Sure.
So, indeed, I'm Emma Sinclair. I am the CEO and founder of Enterprise Alumni. And our company powers the alumni networks of large corporate communities to help them to maintain and maximize a connection with people who've left for boomerang hires, for employer branding, and for new business and sales. And I'd say within that, that's all the ROI and all the things we'll dig into today. But I really believe that corporate community done well is a superpower. So that's what we really try and enable our customers to do.
So why are... We've talked about this in the past, but why are we've talked about candidate experience? So there's, and we've been talking about that for 15 years. So that's cool. And most recently, we're talking about EX, a lot of employee experience related stuff, probably stemming from some employee engagement related stuff. But we don't really talk about alumni experience.
No, we don't. I mean, well, I do.
And a handful
of people here do. I think it's an evolution, right? And things happen faster in companies like mine than in large enterprises. I always say it takes a decade for anything that anyone talks about and says they're going to do to really embed in culture. But we, you spend all this time and money investing in people, sourcing them, recruiting them, upskilling them, mentoring them, making sure that they feel fulfilled in their jobs and can perform well and stay with you and retain them. So after they leave, it's just a complete waste of money, time and effort to just say thanks, bye, especially given people are quite mobile. I think probably, though, it's not, you know, we've got very, very large corporate customers that do this, but it's probably not prolific because it's relatively young in the context of HR tech. Right? Citibank have just celebrated 10 years. There are leaders that have been doing alumni for 10, 12, 15 years. But actually, for most companies, it's 5 to 10 years, absolute maximum they've been doing this. So it's a bit young, to be honest.
Who owns alumni in the organization? I mean, we're dealing with large organizations, so there might be somebody specialized, but in general, if not a specialized person, who owns the alumni network?
Yeah, it tends to be a few different people depending on why they buy it. I mean, there are a lot of companies these days that have alumni managers and alumni teams, often big teams of people. I'd say the companies that have big alumni teams, it generally sits in marketing and it's generally under the CMO. And that's typical of the really established programs, sometimes under the chief revenue officer, because, of course, it does lend itself to new business, but often the CMO, because this is a big channel of people you should be communicating with. The other very large group is under the head of talent, CHRO, head of employer engagement, employer branding. And that's predominantly because alumni are an enormous source of recruits. And some of our customers hire up to 20% of their annual hires from alumni.
So that's what we would say employee referrals. Now it's alumni referrals.
Well, it's alumni coming back. It's boomerang hires. So it's people who left the company and may have gone on to learn something new.
Right.
And they're like, do you know what? I know that company. I know what it stands for. I know where the restroom is. I know the nuances of its culture. I know the good and the bad. And for alumni, it's often quite easy to say, do you know what? I'm going to come back. I had a great time there. Or there's really interesting things that have happened since I left. Or here's a great opportunity for me. I've gone away. I've learned some new skills and I get to return in an elevated position. Obviously, also for companies, this is a really compelling way to hire people because the chances are that they know your company. As I said, you know, they know your company. They know the ins and the outs of it. They know the culture. They probably know someone there they can talk to unofficially. So in the way that we often spend a lot of time making sure that we don't want to make bad hires, alumni are actually a super high quality hire because they know your business, they know what you're about, and they're more likely to be a really strong cultural fit.
Yeah, it's I love that part, and I'm glad that you started there. Do you see with some of your customers that they, if not them coming back, that they also refer talent to HR and recruiting?
Yeah, and there's a couple of types of references and right. referrals that happen. On the one hand, you've got people who really know the business and know what the culture is like, so they can recommend the right person. So a lot of our customers have, I mean, through an alumni network, you can absolutely refer people, and then that goes straight through to an ATS system and an HR system and sets off an alarm that somebody who knows you really well has someone that they suggest you might want to meet. The other type of referrals is almost a bit more informal, and that is, you know, a lot of companies want, especially retail-facing companies, consumer-facing companies, want to encourage as many people as possible to come and work for them in a multi-generational sense. So, for example, you know, we're a US-based business, despite my accent, but we've got customers all over the world. Marks and Spencer's, they call it the M&S family. And they already have a workforce that's multi-generational. Perhaps a mother or a father used to work there, a brother and a sister used to work there. A child might work there, a teenager, whilst they're studying. And they really want to emphasize to all of their alumni and indeed their staff to suggest that their family come and work there. So it's not just actually straightforward referrals of this is a really great role for you, XYZ. It's also tell your friends and family, we'd really like to have them for a lot of our customers. And that's lovely. I mean, like that really, as a human being, that really resonates with me.
100%. So when we started, you went to Boomerang, employer branding, and sales, kind of a three-legged stool. There's probably other legs to that stool as well. Take the audience into kind of what, you know, not a client or anything like that, but what an experience looks like. Because I'm in my mind, I'm imagining content, maybe even some level of personalization. But like, what do we put in front of the alumni to kind of capture their attention?
Well, I think I would say, very broadly speaking, people do want to stay in touch with you. Sometimes right. it's because they had a great time. Sometimes they didn't have a great time, but maybe you're an airline and you offer your alumni a 25% discount on flight. So there's different reasons people stay in touch. Even if you didn't have the best time, if it's your domestic airline and they're offering you a 25% discount to stay in touch, you probably do that. So I think the experience does depend on what somebody wants from the network. I'd say the hooks, the things that really interest people, are not necessarily the corporate news, you know, with the greatest of respect, right. you know, and we meet with the greatest of respect, and I'm sure any comms person would acknowledge this, right? There's just only so much corporate news that is of interest to people that left, and it's relatively limited. But what people are really interested in, as with any element of life, and you'll know this given what you focus on, is they're really interested in the human stories. So, for example, if in a monthly or quarterly newsletter, whatever might be produced, things like alumni stories, people who've left, who've either gone on to do something exceptional, interesting, you know, started a charity, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, done something really dynamic, started a business, IPO'd, whatever kind of business it is. You've got heroes and heroines who've either done something in business or philanthropically or personally to celebrate. Those are, first of all, the absolutely most commonly viewed and most compelling things that people like to see and read. I read alumni stories for most of our customers because they're really interesting. Sometimes for even the largest companies in the world, it might be a family member. You know, Swarovski, one of our customers, you know, they have a CEO now, the first time in the family's history that the CEO is not someone that's from the family. And I'm really interested to read about the last family member who recently left and who spent a lifetime supporting building a brand that, you know, for example, in the case of the last family member that was involved, it was her great grandfather that built the business. It's just so interesting to understand the heritage and the story. Or we've got customers like Chalhoub Group, which is the largest retailer in North Africa and the Middle East. And they, you know, they have the license for brands like Sephora and household names we'd know. They were started by a family. They were started by somebody that came from nothing. And the archive stories they have of how the business began, like a market stall, essentially, much like Marks and Spencer's, you know, how these businesses started are fascinating. And speaking to some of the really early people who were involved in the company. So I think, you know, on the one hand, it's thinking about what is alumni, and it's recognizing that as a company, you're standing on the shoulders of giants and all the people that have been there before. And there's just all these amazing, great stories. I sometimes say, William, probably a bad example, but it's a bit like People magazine or a magazine that at the airport you see on the chair next to you. you'll have a little flick and have a little read of stuff that you might otherwise not do, because you're just always a little bit curious about who's dating who or what someone's wearing on the beach. But that curiosity, that human element, is what drives everyone. And then, of course, there's all the things that depend on the demographic: the perks, the discounts, the jobs, the the referrals, the bonus on doing that. If it's an investment bank, getting access to perhaps some reports or research. It's but it all comes back to the human connection.
Do you have I love the alumni stories, by the way, because storytelling in general, I think, is compelling for folks. But have any of your customers done employee stories, meaning what some of the cool things that they're working on, employee stories, and then publish that to alumni?
Yeah, in two different ways. One, so that alumni can understand that even good or bad, the company is not going to be exactly the same as the day they left. So, you know, you leave a big company and your memory ends there. This is the company I was at. So certainly that is definitely the case, because you want people that left 1, 5, 10, 20 years ago to say, oh, that's really different. That's really interesting. Things that sort of give a sense of the sort of changes to the business that people might be interested in is the first thing. The second thing very often that companies share is they will share boomerang stories. So people who left and have come back, because they want to let people know that, you know, even if you left, unless it was really on bad terms, we'd really love to hear from you again, because we're in the midst, as we all know, of a talent crisis. And if you can get 5% of your hires from a channel you hadn't previously tapped, who are likely to be high quality candidates, that's interesting. William, I can give you a statistic. On our networks, up to 20%, our customers hire up to 20% of their annual hires from alumni, which in itself is interesting. But the thing digging into that I was going to refer to is up to 25% of people on a network apply for a job, and up to 40% of those people are successful. So essentially, what does actually mean? It means alumni are really high quality candidates, because of those who apply, 40% get the job. And this is in very large enterprises. So we're talking about tens and hundreds of thousands of jobs. So I think it's just for those that are listening that hadn't thought about it, it's just we spend all this time on employee experience, customer experience. I always think of alumni as both. And it's a channel that, obviously, you know, my life is alumni, but it feels wrong to ignore for all those reasons.
So last thing on content, is there anything to kind of if values or DEI or social injustice, like any other kind of things that might have changed? Again, structurally, I think if the company has changed, you know, eliminated a division and started a new division, R&D, like all that stuff makes sense to me. But is there any of the softer stuff that maybe it isn't front page news? Would that be interested to alumni?
Yes. I mean, it depends who's asking. But some of my favorite things about D&I are, you know, when I used to work in a bank, when I started my career, I was part of the Women in Banking group. And when I left, regardless of my view of that employer, I felt very attached to the women in the Women in Banking group. Right. When I left, I had to leave it. So first of all, in terms of alumni, it's an opportunity to extend your employee resource groups into the into the alumni network. So if you are really trying to build out your D&I and you're focusing on women in STEM or women in banking or whatever group it is, this is why not maintain that relationship with people after they leave, because it's something that they genuinely care about. So the first D&I way is, you know, how brilliant if you have an LGBTQ group to have three times the people in it, because after people leave, they can stay part of that. And then I guess there's also things like, you know, when people leave, if they go into the military, if they're carers, if they go on maternity leave, there are some candidates that are more likely to stay in touch with a company, and there are some that are less likely. And the ones that are less likely are the ones that maybe don't necessarily fit the mold of the type of person that applies, but that companies really want to reach out to. So I always think of alumni as a very passive group of people that you can turn into active ambassadors, active candidates, and that pool of people in particular, right? If you leave and go to the army, or you leave and become a carer, or you become a parent and you are a mother or a father that takes 10 years off, it can be hard to get back into the workforce. And maybe you've lost touch with people you used to work with. Right. This is an easier segue in, because they're saying, you used to work for us, we'd love to hear from you. It's a much softer, warmer cuddle for people who might otherwise be intimidated about applying for jobs elsewhere and think that they don't necessarily have the experience or skills because they have a gap from work.
Right. I can see that with a lot of working parents, men or women that take off after a new child and maybe take off for a couple of years and then being disconnected or feel disconnected. But if they're, you know, if they're getting weekly or monthly emails, and they feel kind of still attached, they feel like, okay, I'm still in the know. So I can see that. What do we need to be integrated with? What is EA? Because you play upstream, enterprise, global enterprise, etc. What is, you know, the leg bone connected to the hip bone? Like, what is what does this need to be connected to?
Well, yeah, the leg bone and the hip bone, it was been part of the whole journey. It's like we can't be sitting in a silo, and we really mean it. Generally speaking, I'd say alumni networks go live without integrations because corporates have a big process, big teams, big IT backlog, and you can go live and get cracking because people are leaving every day and churning every day. So why not start immediately? But the journey, William, is essentially one where potentially you integrate with an HR system, ATS system, so that when people offboard, they're immediately invited onto the alumni network, an ATS system, so you really can capture all the candidate experience and people applying for jobs or for referrals. I'd say a second big pillar, as you'd obviously expect, is with CRM systems. So the whatever it might be, the Microsoft Dynamics or the or Salesforce, the likes of those, we can integrate with. And that allows people to keep this source of truth that they work very hard to create inside their business of records and information. And just it's additive where people can see, ah, okay, we have a prospect. Here's a large enterprise. Do we know anyone there? Okay, we know 11 alumni that are there. What net promoter score did those alumni give us? Oh, three of them gave us a 9 or a 10 out of 10. We should definitely leverage those people as ambassadors or advocates or speak to them and start with them as people we should be engaging as part of the sales process. So those are the two really big pillars. And then all the, you know, really easy, quick things, socials, marketing tools, Mercato, you name it. So I say that we are a technology company that do alumni because that's kind of our bread and butter. And the dream for me and for all of our customers when I talk to new customers is actually alumni should be part of onboarding. It's the day people are most excited. Get them through their whole working life cycle with you. Don't let them drop off at the end. It's just, you know, the way people leave is often not good enough. And it's just such an own goal. So the dream is onboarding and offboarding. And such like.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Oxford or Cambridge or Harvard or Stanford or wherever, London School of Economics, they've done this well for a long time. Like, you go in, when you apply, you already know the alumni network that you're applying. I mean, you already, you know, like, that's part of it. The college experience, the university experience is also, I'm going to graduate and be a part of something much larger. I'll get a degree. Yeah, I'll learn some stuff, but also be a part of something much larger, which I think companies can, if they think like that, they can use a lot of that mentality. So I love that you pulled it all the way into onboarding, because I think it goes even further into marketing jobs, and into job descriptions and employer branding on the front end and career sites. It's like, this isn't just a job. Yes. Great, you need to be competent and apply the job, but also you'll be joining this company and this network, which anyhow.
Can I tell you something, William, on that, something you just said, sure. An interesting stat. So visitors to alumni sites, obviously it's people who are signing up and a variety of similar commensurate people, but the number of the quantum of visitors to alumni sites who are candidates considering whether to work at an employer is often 50 to 60%, if not more. Wow. Of our customers' visits, because people are saying, okay, you can understand, especially for large, you know, as you said, upstream enterprise clients, they're often listed, they're large companies, their websites need to be, you know, fairly vanilla for all the right reasons. But where else can you maybe get a sense of what it's like to work at a company? Will they care about me through my whole working life cycle? Just other more human elements to that. And alumni is the next page, the next place that they go for that, because it's like, okay, you've got an alumni network, you care about me through my whole working life cycle. You're celebrating people that used to work there. It's an integral, rightly or wrongly, whether it is or isn't, depending on the company involved, it's really integral to your employer culture. So it's actually, I you know, there, I there are so many ways it's relevant, but the quantum of visitors, especially for companies that are very large recruiters in universities and of young people, it often gets as high as 75% of people that are visiting are just trying to understand the company culture. So interesting snippet for you.
So a few quick things. One is folks that are listening, I'm sure if they haven't started down this path, and it's just been, you know, they've been fighting other fires. Let's just leave it at that. And they haven't started. Where do they start? Like, step one, what is that for them?
Well, I mean, there are different things that make an alumni program successful. I always has to start somewhere, but a senior sponsor is a really important metric and tick box for success. Because if something has advocacy from the right level, everyone takes it seriously. I'd say a few things to remember, but I don't see them that much these days. No one has any interest in signing up for a website. We are all consumers. We all do shopping. Everything we do is online, right? So we have to remember, if you are deciding to start a process of engaging with people, don't expect them to engage with like a one-dimensional, very generic newsletter. Don't expect them to sign up on a website that just is a little bit not the UX experience that you have when you are signing up to do your shopping on, you know, a big US retailer or international retailer. Get your goals locked down. Why are we doing this? It's not hard to start because you have churn every single day. And getting started, like everything in life, in my view, William, starting a business, in fact, is just bite-sized chunks. So I think find a senior sponsor, get a bit of budget together, and recognize long gone are the days that you can do this on a spreadsheet. A CRM is a good start, but just sending one outward bound generic email is typically going to get deleted by people after the first or second time they receive it, because it's probably not going to have anything that's interesting for them in there. So, you know, look around. There's a burgeoning world of corporate alumni, and there's a burgeoning world of a need for boomerang hires over the last couple of years, especially since COVID. And there's a you know, common goal to have everybody you know in the right place online, again, accelerated by COVID. So have a look at what your peers are doing. We've obviously, as you can imagine, we've got loads of resources on our website. But find a senior sponsor and find a use case and a reason to do this. And it might be business development, it might be boomerang hires, or it might, William, be that it's the right thing to do, which increasingly is becoming a reason. So. Right.
Last question. When you first show Enterprise Alumni to someone, what's your favorite part of the demo? Like, what's the aha moment for the person looking at EA?
I think probably data and analytics, because, you know, Google, there's loads of great tools embedded in people's systems, but you can't really own the data and drill down. And just suddenly seeing what you can own and understand about people. It's post-employee engagement. People tell you what they want to tell you.
Oh, cool.
But I'd say that moment of where you can measure things and where you can really sort of see your... I'll be honest, I love the heat map, right? I love to just see a pretty map where you can see where everybody in the world is, and customers go, oh, this is where everybody is based. Or, wow, I had no idea we had loads of people in, you know, Vanuatu. But you know, things like that, obviously, anecdotally, I really love. But the data and analytics, where people are like, okay, we can understand this level of detail. I think people maybe expect a lot from all their HR systems and systems that manage people. And then that very, very last step, that post-employer engagement, for those that hadn't really thought about this or done this, is something that no one really... Quite often we get people saying, oh, how do we not know about this? And how do we not know about you? And we're well-kept secret. And I'm like, well, you know, you... So I think it's that element of, it's actually something that you can do well and easily in the same way that you do things at scale with other stages of your journey. But yeah, don't tell anyone, but the heat map, don't tell my engineers that spend all this time doing really clever stuff, but often it's that.
So Emma used a phrase that might not be familiar to some of the American audience, own goal in football. That is when you score on your own team. It's kind of a self-inflicted wound. So.
That's, you don't have that there.
Well,
no one talks about it.
No one talks about it in that way, but I wanted to make sure that they understood what you meant. Emma, thank you so much for your time. This has been fantastic.
Lovely to speak to you, William. Thank you for having me join you.
Absolutely. And thanks for everyone listening to the Use Case Podcast. Until next time.
You've been listening to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform and hit us up at recruitingdaily.com.